Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for good things you have released into our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for frustrating the plans of the enemy that were against us. Thank you, Lord, for enforcing your will to prevail in all areas of our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of your word you have taught us on this platform. We thank you for the truth we have learned from you through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for how you have delivered us, healed us, edified us, transformed us through your truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the desire and passion in our hearts to want to know you, to want to grow in the knowledge of you, and to want to learn more from you. Thank you for filling our hearts with such hunger for more of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be spending some time in your presence to learn more from you, even more about the teachings we have been following for some time now, I ask, O Lord, that you feed everyone with your truth and your revelations. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that the Lord would open your eyes to see even beyond what I will be saying during the teaching today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We'll continue from where we stopped. Remember that we have been talking on part 4 of our teaching series. Part 4, which says discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. And we have talked on so many topics, like the origin of witchcraft, the nature and strength of demons, a lot of topics like witchcraft and character, witchcraft and bloodline, the possibilities in witchcraft, the gates of hell, and demonic portals. Yeah, and the last one we talked about was discerning demonic possession and control in people. So today we'll be looking at the religious darkness, the religious darkness. What does religion mean, or what does being religious mean? Religion is just a system of faith and worship of a system of faith in a deity, a god, a supreme being, a supernatural being or powerful being. Yeah, and then not just faith in that personality, but also worship of such personality, which involves obedience to certain laws. Yeah, so that is what religion is about. So being religious is dedicating or devoting yourself, devoting all your energy, your strength, your passion, your time, even your emotions to believing, obeying and worshipping the divine personality. Yeah. Which also includes following in detail all the instructions that the divine personality command that you do. Yeah, that is what being religious mean. Yeah. Now, I said our topic is the religious darkness. As good as being religious is, especially in the Christian faith. Yeah, because Christianity is also a type of religion, though a very unique religion. And of course the only true religion. Christianity is the only true religion. And it's the only religion that offers some wonderful things, wonderful benefits, wonderful blessings that other religions could not. Yeah. And it's a great religion. And in fact, some people don't even like to use the word religion for Christianity. They say it's a relationship. It's all about a relationship between God and you and I as Christians. Yeah. So whether we say it's a relationship or whether we say it's a religion, but the truth is, if it's a religion, it's the only true religion. And from the definition of religion, we can say Christianity is a religion. Yeah, and of course, is the only powerful religion. Yeah, any other religion apart from Christianity, they are powerless and useless. Yeah. So now, if we agree that Christianity is a type of religion, which to some extent it is, or maybe I should say to some extent it is more than a religion. Yeah, it is a religion, but we can say it's more than a religion because it offers so much that other religions cannot offer. if we say it is a religion, then we must be careful of the religious darkness. There's a kind of darkness that is prevailing in churches today, in churches and ministries, and it's a terrible darkness. It's a very dangerous darkness. Yeah, and it's called the religious darkness. It's a darkness that hides behind religion to draw many souls to hellfire. It's a darkness that hides behind religion to deceive many, corrupt many, pollute many, and enslave many. So that is why we must be careful. We must watch out for this darkness. We must watch out for the religious darkness. We must watch out for this darkness. Now, I'm going to show you from the Bible how this darkness has functioned in time past. I mean, the religious darkness. I'm going to show you from the scriptures how it has functioned, how it has manifested in the Bible days, even during the Old Testament worship of God. People practice this religious darkness. Now let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. What does it mean to have a form of godliness and deny the power of godliness? It means outwardly, physically, a person, maybe a so-called Christian or a so-called believer, could show physically and outwardly certain things that is common to the Christian faith. That is, such person could speak the language of the Christian faith. That is, that person could talk like devoted Christians. How devoted Christians would talk. That person would talk like that. That person can sing like how original Christians would sing, worship and pray songs to God. And not only that, that person can even preach and teach like how a real Christian or minister of God would teach and preach. And not only that, that person could dress outwardly, physically. That person could dress very moderate, very modest, and very, very holy dressing. I mean, I'm talking about dressing that doesn't expose serious Christian, a devoted Christian, a righteous Christian, you show that outwardly, but your heart, inwardly, your lifestyle, and the state of your heart, your nature, does not line up with what you are showing on the outside. Yeah, so that is what the Bible meant by having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This means that godliness has power. Godly living, holy living, if we do it for real, it carries power. If we practice godliness, righteousness, holy living, if we practice it for real, not that we are just showing it on the outside, whereas inside of us, we have not really agreed with what we are doing or with what we are showing people on the outside. Maybe we are just showing it so that people, so as to give people the impression that we are Christians and that we are righteous Christians. Yeah, so if that is why we show godliness on the outside, then it will not be powerful. But when you show godliness and righteousness, and you really mean it in your heart, yeah, we have some Christian sisters who don't dress worldly. They don't wear trousers. They don't use jewelry. They don't use cosmetics. In all those cosmetics that changes your natural form, giving you another identity, making you to look different from the way God created you. So we have these sisters that don't do all of that. They don't use any attachments. Yeah, but inside their hearts, they are still interested in the dressing styles that the unbelievers do. Inside their hearts, deep inside their minds, they still want to look like the way unbelieving ladies look like, the way unbelievers dress. They still, somewhere inside their heart, they still feel like, oh, I wish I'm the one putting on these trousers. Oh, I wish I'm the one dressing like this. Yeah. No, they are not dressing like the people of the world dresses, but deep inside their hearts, they still want to look like those people. Yeah. Because they feel like, let me just follow the church instruction. In our church, we don't wear trousers. Our ladies don't use jewelry. In our ministry, we don't believe in this type of dressing. So let me just follow what the ministry or what the church instruct us to do. But deep down in their hearts, they really want to dress worthy. They really want to dress worthy deep down in their hearts. They have not fully agreed, or maybe I should say they have not even agreed with that type of godly dressing. Now, so those kind of Christian sisters, I believe they are one of those this Bible verse is referring to. The Bible verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yeah. They really don't want to do that, but just to please people, to give people impression that they are godly. So they put on such appearance. Yeah. So, as I was saying, looking deeply into this verse, you will see that true godliness is powerful. If we appear godly and we really mean it, then that form of godliness will be powerful. If we show on the outside a form of godliness and we mean it in our hearts, we are in full agreement with what we are showing people on the outside, then there's a great power that will flow through that godliness. A great power will flow through it. I'm talking about a kind of power that is able to convict sinners of their sins. We've heard of people who made up their minds to serve God and to give their lives to Christ just because they saw the way a certain believer dressed and the way that believer composed him or herself and the way that believer talk and react to situations. So they were so moved that I want to be like this person. And that was how they gave their lives to Christ. That was how they gave their lives to Christ. Nobody preached to them. They just saw the way a certain Christian was living his or her life. Yeah, and they were so moved that how could someone live like this in this kind of in this wicked world that we have, in this polluted world, in this unholy world, unrighteous world that we have. So they were moved by the lifestyle of such believers. So they were like, how can someone still be faithful and truthful? How can someone still dress modestly when more than half of the world dress seductive, and then this particular person still dress modestly? Yeah. So when they saw the appearance and the godly lifestyle of such believers, they were moved in their hearts and they eventually gave their lives to Christ. Nobody preached to them. Yeah, nobody preached to them. Then you can ask what preached to them. It was the form of godliness that they saw. But not like the one in this 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. Because this one does not have power. But they saw the one that carries power. They saw a form of godliness that carries power. And that was how they surrendered their lives to Christ. So which means that if we Christians really live godly, actually to speak much about Jesus to people before Jesus would be arresting their hearts through our godly lifestyles. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So now, this religious darkness we are talking about is after destroying the power of godliness. That's what this religious darkness is about. It is after, the mission of this darkness is to destroy the power of godliness. Yeah, to number one is to downgrade and devalue the true godliness that Christ wants believers to demonstrate and express. Yeah, that's number one. And then number two is to show a form of godliness that has no power. To preach a form of godliness that has no power. Yeah, as we continue in the teaching, you will understand more. So now let's move to another scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, this is Jesus speaking, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now what Jesus was telling the disciples, the people that were following him here, was that he was telling them that you see the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, how they so much show it physically, how they so much package their righteousness and showcase it in a very convincing manner, in a very impressive manner. Yeah, Jesus was telling them that, see how the Pharisees and the scribes, how they show their righteousness with how towards seriousness. Jesus was telling them that don't expect that you can by this type of righteousness enter into the kingdom of God. That your righteousness must be greater than this one that you have seen in Pharisees and scribes before you can enter into the kingdom of God. That is what he meant by your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That is, you must do what they could not do, what the Pharisees could not do. You must do what they could not do. You must show what they could not show before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we saw saw in the Bible how these people, these religious leaders and religious Jews, especially the Pharisees, we saw how they really show their righteousness. Yeah, this sect of people, they try as much as possible to follow the Old Testament laws. Yeah, you will see as the teaching continues, we are still going to look at some other scriptures in the Bible that exposes the attitudes and lifestyles of these religious leaders. Yeah, this sect of people, they do not only try to follow all the details of the law, they also put themselves as judges or judges over people to check if they are following the law, to check if they are doing the same things they are doing. So you know, many times those Pharisees they question Jesus' authority. They question his teachings. They challenged him on so many occasions. Yeah, they questioned him about Sabbath, or maybe I should say they accused him about the issues of the matters of keeping the Sabbath and many other things. Yeah, so these people, they do not only want to follow the law to the details, they also try to look for those that are not really following the law and try to bring them to judgment, or try to, you know, try to punish them according to the law. Yeah, so that was how serious these kind of people were in those days. Yeah, but a critical study of their lifestyles, I mean the lifestyles of the Pharisees, shows that they are hypocrites. Yeah, that they are not actually fulfilling the law or following the law. Yeah, because in so many areas, they failed. Yeah, but they try to give themselves, they try to give themselves this public honor and acceptance. They try to impress the people in the public. Yeah, to make people see them as holy personalities or holy people or leaders. Whereas they do a lot of wicked things secretly. Yeah, so Jesus exposed many of their sins, and he really he really chastised them, if I can use that word. Yeah, so let's look at another scripture so you can understand more about this religious darkness we are talking about. Let us look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 13 and 14. Matthew 23, verse 13 and 14. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Yeah, so Jesus was exposing who they really are. Yeah, and he was declaring to them God's judgment if they don't repent. Woe unto them, hypocrites! Yeah, so these religious people, they have selfish agenda, hidden agenda, carnal agenda, and they try to use religion to achieve their hidden agendas. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. They have selfish interests. They don't really care about God. They care about themselves. If they cared about God, maybe on the secondary. Yeah. They cared about themselves first. So they primarily cared about themselves. So, and they try to use God, they try to use religion to satisfy their selfish agendas. And you and I know that we have people like that in the church today. We have people like the scribes and Pharisees. I believe you can agree with me. You might have met some Christians like that who are hypocrites. Even some ministers, some pastors, general overseers, church founders, who are just like these Pharisees and scribes. They are hypocrites. They have selfish agendas. Hidden, selfish, self-centered motives. And they try to use religion to achieve that darkness that is in their hearts. Yeah, don't forget that. We are talking on discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Yeah, so there's a name of a demon called religious spirit. Yeah, it's a name of a demon. It's called religious spirit. Yeah, and this teaching is to show you how that demon operates in people and through people. Yeah, so as I was saying, we have people in the church today who are only trying to use God. Of God for their own personal gain. They really don't care about God. They don't care about Jesus. They only care about themselves. They're only after what they would gain. They are not after what Jesus would gain. So they are not living for Jesus. So they just want to use whether religious positions, whatever position they give them in the church, or try to use spiritual gifts, or they try to use some services they offer in the church. Maybe they sing, there are many services, many works people do in the church. So these people, they just try to use religious activities to satisfy their carnal desires. So that is demonic manifestation. So when you see people like that, know that they are manifesting demons. They are manifesting religious darkness. Yeah. So these people, they don't mind. They are ready to dress like a holy person. They are ready to, they are ready to follow all those outward rules. But deep down in their heart, they have an agenda. Yeah. We have some sisters who have an agenda to just get an husband, to get an husband in a church. Yeah. So while they are on that mission, they are ready to follow the rules every other people are following in that church or ministry. They are ready to dress the way they dress in that place. They are ready to speak the same language people speak in that place. I mean, the language of faith, like, God bless you, you are blessed. We are moving from glory to glory. We are moving from strength to strength. You know, all those Christian faith languages. So these people, they are ready to do all of those things. Yeah, the same applies to Christian, some so-called Christian brothers, and of course some so-called Christian sisters. Yeah. So they are ready to abide by the rules. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they are ready to follow the rules in such churches or ministries just to get someone they want to marry. Yeah, just to get someone they want to marry from that church. So once they get that person and eventually marry that person, then they now begin to show their true colors in that marriage. Then they will tell the person, don't think I was really born again. I wasn't really born again. I just joined that church because I was looking for a spouse. I was looking for someone to marry. Yeah, so now that I've gotten what I want, so this is who I am. So you have to just accept him for who I am. I'm not those kind of born again people you think I am. Yeah, so we have many cases like that. I don't know if you're getting me. So this demon called the religious spirit, goes along with hypocrisy and pretense. Yeah, it makes people pretend to be godly, to be holy on the outside, whereas on the inside they are not. In fact, it makes people even speak in tongues like they are real Christians. I mean, like other real Christians will do. But deep down on the inside, whatever tongues they are speaking is not from the Holy Spirit. They are not actually children of God. So we have people like this among us in the body of Christ. We have them as pastors, as ministers, as church members. We have them as gospel singers, gospel artists. Yeah, we have a lot of them in the church. So the purpose of this teaching is to help you to be careful. Yeah, the purpose of this teaching is to help you to look for more in people. Don't just believe people for what they claim to be or for what they appear to be. Trust in the Holy Spirit to show you more about people, even people inside the church. Trust the Holy Spirit to show you more about people, because we have people who are so full of this religious darkness we're talking about. Yeah, and they don't look like they have any darkness when you see them. But they have great darkness inside of them. But outwardly, they look like holy people. You know, for some time, I thought maybe something was wrong with me. Because every time I enter into churches, the Holy Spirit keep on exposing the darkness in those places to me, and the darkness in the worshippers there to me. So I keep feeling irritated, and I keep feeling disconnected from those people and from those pastors and from those believers. And at the point, I thought maybe something is wrong with me. What? Because I was like, does that mean everyone is not pure? Why am I not connecting with these people? Why is it that I always discern the darkness in them? Yeah, but eventually I realized that nothing is wrong with me. I realize that it is God trying to keep me safe. That was why he was making me to see the darkness in those people first, and not their outward appearance. Because these people I'm talking about, they don't really appear like they have any darkness or they have any secret sinful nature or secret sinful attitude or secret sinful habits. They don't really look like that on the outside. But what I would discern whenever I see them, even whenever I shake their heads, what I would discern first is the darkness in them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, don't get closer to this one. Don't get closer to that one. Don't even pray with this one. Don't pray with that one. Yeah, and that went on for some years. And I thought something was wrong with me. But I realized eventually that nothing was wrong with me. Actually, those people were the ones that have gone the wrong ways. Yeah, so God gave me that kind of discernment so that I would be saved. Because if I just flow freely with those people, my whole spiritual connection with God will be damaged. And I might just follow their deception and hypocrisy. I might just fall into the same darkness that they are into. So that is the purpose of this teaching. To warn you to be careful of the religious darkness and to know fact that they are inside the church. Yeah. So you must be careful. Don't just embrace everyone. I'm not saying you should start. I'm not saying you withdraw from every other believer out there. No. I'm saying that be careful. Trust the Holy Spirit to show you more than what people claim they are. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit will do that. Don't just believe anyone easily. Yeah, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Yeah, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because if you just flow along with this kind of people, eventually they would bring you down. And eventually you will find yourself walking in the same darkness that they are in. Yeah. In fact, they would scatter your own faith in God. In fact, they would even open up your spirit to demons. Especially if you join hands with those people and pray together with them. The darkness in them will start flowing into your spirit because they are not really born again. They are just playing religion, playing church. Yeah. So, your whole spiritual life will be at risk if you just easily connect with those people. So, you must be prayerful and so much careful and so much filled with the Spirit to discern such people and to limit how you connect with them, how you walk with them. Yeah, I wouldn't say connect. Like, maybe you just greet them. Greetings, sister, greetings, brother, God bless you, and then you just go. But any close relationship, avoid. Especially when God already show you who they really are on the inside. Yeah. Let's look at other scriptures. Still in Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Let's look at verse 23 of this same chapter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus was condemning them. He said, woe unto you. You pay tithe. That is, these Pharisees and scribes, they are so conscious of tithe to the point that they pay tithe of everything. Even the smallest thing that they have, they pay tithe of it. The smallest of the income and the profits they get, they pay tithe of them. But Jesus said, you do all these things, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. Yeah, Jesus was saying there's nothing wrong with you paying tithe, but what about these other things that are even to God more serious and more important than tithe? What of judgment? That is righteous judgment. Judgment means ability to separate right from wrong. Ability to separate light from darkness. Yeah, because those Pharisees, outwardly they claim that they are of the light, but secretly, in the their hearts, in their actions, they have embraced darkness. So there is no judgment in their lives. Then mercy, they don't show mercy. They exploit even widows, people that don't have money. Now, today you will see some pastors give some street loans. If you want the anointing upon my head to bless you and to change your life, you have to bring all that you have in your account. Go and withdraw all the money in your account, or you have to give so a month, and that is when the anointing on my life will work for you. This is just one of the things they say. They say many rubbish things from the pulpit. And they don't even care whether the people have food to eat. They don't care whether the people even have jobs. Yeah, they don't care whether they have money. But they are ready to brainwash them. And then those people who don't know the scriptures, they also will go and bring all the money. I'm not saying it is wrong to give all. Of course, that is what we preach and teach in this ministry a lot. Because I strongly believe in sacrificial giving. Yeah. But not in the way those prophets and pastors practice their own church or ministry. Yeah. There's nothing wrong in giving God all that you have. But that is between you and God. You shouldn't do it because somebody is telling you that if you don't do it, God will not bless you. If you don't do it, you will not see miracles. You will not get your deliverance. When you hear people saying such things, I mean, when you hear pastors saying such things, in fact, that is a sign that you should not give at all. When they start saying such things, it's already a confirmation that don't give them a dime. Yeah. Why? Because it is religious darkness. So if you give, you are just giving to the darkness that they are operating with. You are not giving to God. You are giving to the darkness that is in those pastors or prophets. Yeah, because God don't recognize such kind of giving, that you brainwash people to give, you compel them to give, you force them to give. God don't recognize those kind of offering. No, He doesn't. The kind of offering God recognizes is the one that you sat down and then you made your choice. You made up your mind after you have heard a teaching or you have heard a preaching about the love of God and about how God has given us too much that we should give Him all our life in return. And we should give Him everything we have in return because He has given us too much already. So when you hear teachings about sacrificial giving, and then you sit down and then you told God and said, God, I want to really show how much I love you. I'm going to give you everything I have. Or I'm going to give you 95% of all that I have. Yeah, to really show my love for you. And to show my love for your work, for your kingdom on earth. And then you now say, Pastor, this is what I have decided. I'm going to give God all of this. Yeah, that one is not darkness. That one is right, is pure, is correct. And that's why we have examples in the Bible. A lot of people did that also in the Bible. Yeah, but this one that tell you, if you don't give certain amounts, then the power of God will not move and change things in your life. Like, you have to give certain amount before you will see certain changes in your life. So those are religious darkness. So don't surrender to such darkness. Yeah, because if you give them those money, there will be no reward from God. Yeah, because that is not how to give to God. We give to God willingly, not by force. God don't need any giving that is not willing. God hates such giving. Yeah, even if it is billions, inasmuch as it's not a cheerful and willing giving, God hates that billions. Yeah, that's the truth. So that is why in this ministry, we will not do something like that. Of course, you have not seen me say something like that. Yeah. The highest I can do is to teach you about giving and to encourage you to give. That's the highest I can do. The rest, I don't know how to do. Yeah, because I've not been taught that way by God. So let's look at another verse, still in this, Matthew 23. Verse 25, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Full of extortion and excess. Yeah. Outside of the cup, they look clean. On the outside, they look clean. But inside, they are full of extortion and excess. Then another verse is in 27. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Yeah, that is, they have led many to their graves, both spiritual death and physical death. Such people like this, they are murderers. They are murderers. Yeah. They don't mind killing people to have their way, to satisfy their selfish agendas. Selfish interests. Yeah, they don't mind killing people. Yeah, they killed Jesus. I believe you know that. They killed Jesus. They got people to testify against him. Yeah, the Bible called them false witnesses. They pay those people to testify against Jesus that he's a bad person, he did this, he did that, that is against the law, and stuff like that. Till they forced Pilate to hand him to be crucified on the cross. Yeah, they killed Jesus not because of what he was preaching and teaching. what is correct and right. They know, but they don't want they don't want the gospel of Jesus to spoil their business. Yeah, their selfish business that they are using religion to enrich themselves. So they know that if people start believing the gospel of Jesus and they start following Jesus, they know that they will lose their honor, their pride, and they will no longer make money out of people. Yeah. So, and because of that, they handed Jesus over to be killed. So we have people like that. They are ready to kill. And I'm talking about people who are filled with this religious darkness. They are ready to kill. I'm talking about pastors, general overseers. Some of them are murderers. They have killed people. I mean real killing. Just to have their ways to save their name. I don't know how to put it. To give themselves to retain their reputation, if I can put it like that. Yeah, because there's a way people see them in the public. So maybe somebody caught them doing something secretly and that person was going to expose their secrets. They are ready to send assassins to go and kill that person. So that the person will not expose their secrets in the public. Yeah. They are murderers. So that is how much this darkness has taken root in their souls. And those Pharisees are like that. But there's a lot to say on this topic, but there's no time, as you can see. I'm going to round off with this scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Yeah, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. So these people who have that demon in them, the religious demon, the religious darkness, they only follow the letter, but they don't have any connection or relationship with the Spirit that wrote the letter. Yeah. So they'll tell you that we are following the Bible. We are following the law. Yeah, so those Pharisees, they were justifying their actions. Yeah, they were justifying their actions by saying that they are following the law. And in fact, they even see themselves as trying to help God and defend God. So they killed people. Of course, you saw how even Saul, who later became Apostle Paul, you saw how he went about arresting Christians. He was a Pharisee. He went about arresting Christians. And he handed them over to the chief priest, the high priest, for them to be killed or imprisoned. Yeah, and he was so zealous about doing that. So many other Pharisees, that was what they do. So they claim that they are following the letter. They are following the law. And you know some religion today also. They believe killing people means they are following the law of their God, not my God. Yeah. So they formed terrorist groups. They went about killing people, and then they say that they are killing people because they are following a particular thing that was written in their holy book, written by their God. Yeah, of course you know those people. Yeah, so these people who are filled with religious darkness, they have no relationship with the spirit that wrote the letters, that wrote the Bible. They have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. They only follow the letter blindly. You know, the Pharisees, they were so blind that the Son of God was standing before them and they could not agree that he is the Son of God. They could not receive him as the Son of God. They could not even know it because they were just following the letters. They were not following the Spirit that wrote the letter. Yeah, so if you are a minister and you have no strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, you might end up in religious darkness. You might end up in religious darkness. I have people that they know the Bible a lot. They can quote many scriptures offhand, but they are in this religious darkness. They claim that they are doing ministry right, and they use some scriptures to back up what they are doing, but they are in religious darkness. Yeah, because if they had a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit would have corrected them. Because some of them, they even misinterpret the scriptures, and they misinterpret the things of God's kingdom. And because of that, they entered into errors and into darkness. Yeah, so we must know the God of the Bible. Not just the Bible. Know the Spirit that wrote the Bible. Have a relationship with the Spirit that produced the letters. That is how you will not enter into this religious darkness. If you just follow the Bible blindly, even the Bible can take you to hell. I don't know if you believe that. Even the Bible, the letters in the Bible, can take you to hell. If you don't let the Holy Spirit show you the truth from the Bible, if you just follow what you read and just give it your own personal interpretation, that alone can take you to hell. Yeah, because you would misinterpret it to mean what it doesn't mean. And eventually you might even be an enemy of the kingdom of God. That is, you might now be using the Bible against God. We have people that they use the Bible against Jesus and against the people of God. Yeah, because they interpret the Bible to mean something else that is against the truth of God's kingdom. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for how you have opened our eyes to understand the details about religious darkness, the religious spirit, the religious demon. Thank you for showing us how to avoid this spirit and not be captured by the same darkness. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that you help as many that have had this teaching and that will still listen to this teaching. I ask that you help as many to be strong in faith and in the truth, such that no one will be able to lure them or deceive them into embracing religious darkness. Oh Lord, make your people strong in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you receive from the Lord an anointing and fire that would chase out this darkness from everywhere you find yourself, even in the church you are attending. I pray that the Lord put in you fire, revival fire, that will be able to challenge this darkness and uproot this darkness from your environment and from inside the church. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered.